You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Hey guys, it's me, Sam Stein, managing editor at The Bulwark. I'm joined by Andrew Egger, author of Morning Shots, and we're here to talk about war and truth social and whether the two actually can be and should be combined. I want to just level set with the viewers here. It's 2:45 p.m. on Tuesday. We have a highly dynamic situation. We don't turn these videos around instantaneously. So by the time that this goes up, it's possible we have a number of different other bleats from President Trump. It's possible we have a situation in Iran that is different than the current situation, which is already pretty dire. But this afternoon, something very unique happened in that we had our first, I know of, instance in which the commander-in-chief was sort of live-tweeting what was going on in his head with respect to potentially bombing a foreign country and getting the U.S. involved in a Middle East war. So just to recap, and then we'll get your perspectives on this. Quote, we now have complete and total control of the skies over Iran. Iran had good sky trackers and other defensive equipment and plenty of it, but it doesn't compare to American-made, conceived, and manufactured stuff, quote unquote. Nobody does it better than the good old USA. Then around that time, he said, we know exactly where the so-called supreme leader is hiding. He is an easy target, but is safe there. We are not going to take him out, in parentheses, kill, exclamation point. Jesus, the fucking... All right, at least not for now. But we don't want missiles shot at civilians or American soldiers. Our patience is wearing thin. Thank you for your attention to this matter. That appears to be his new catchphrase. And then finally, he bleats in all caps, unconditional surrender. I don't know what to say. What are we doing here?
Yeah, let me add just one more onto this, which is a couple hours earlier. He shared a text from Mike Huckabee. Ambassador to is Huckabee the ambassador to Israel? Is that the
yes.
is that what,
yes,
what he's
yes,
doing?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, just an amazing text. Just read a little bit of it. Mr. President, God spared you in Butler, Pennsylvania, to be the most consequential president in a century, maybe ever. The decisions on your shoulders, I would not want to be made by anyone else. You have many voices speaking to you, sir, but there is only one voice that matters, his voice. I am your appointed servant in this land and am available for you, but I do not try to get in your presence often because I trust your instincts. No president in my lifetime has been in a position like yours, not since Truman in 1945. Little gesture at the atomic bomb there. I don't reach out to persuade you, only to encourage you. I believe you will hear from heaven, and that voice is far more important than mine or anyone's else. You sent me to Israel to be your eyes, ears, and voice, and to make sure our flag flies above our embassy. My job is to be the last one to leave. I will not abandon this post. Our flag will not come down. You did not seek this moment. This moment sought you. It is my honor to serve you, Mike Huckabee. Trump tweets this whole text out, a screenshot of it on Truth Social. From Trump says, from Mike Huckabee, a pastor, politician, ambassador, and great person. So that's the, he's like, thanks for sending that along, Mike.
It's like a reality show. It's like you're watching someone's, like, you know, we don't need to see what's on his phone, but he's going to show us what's on his phone. And it's just like everything is just it's geared towards trying to gin up suspense, although there's plenty of suspense that already exists.
In one sense, the spectacle is just the thing itself, right? I mean, like, it's insane that the president is doing this, obviously. Like, stipulate that, right? Just total lunatic land that we're in here. At the same time, it is actually kind of helpful that he's doing it in some ways, because like it is, I mean, he ultimately does like control a lot of decisions, right? No, I just mean in terms of like assessing where he's coming from on this stuff, because I feel like a lot of the time, you know, people talk about Trump's foreign policy like on the kind of like hawks versus doves sort of thing, right? Where it's like, is he a peace through strength guy? He likes to talk about that. Is he like a sort of neocon light, you know, speak softly and carry a big stick and do deterrence, that kind of thing?
Andrew,
and then he's also got this whole—
I couldn't disagree more. I find this very unsettling, this stuff. Like, Tehran—
Well, let me finish spooling out my thoughts, Sam. It is unsettling. Of course it's unsettling, but just let me make this point. There's that thing, and then there's you know, his whole coalition of doves, right? Of like, you know, no more foreign wars types, you know, like all those guys in his coalition. And like, I think Trump kind of varies back and forth between those two things, because that's not really how he thinks about these things, right? He just likes winning and he likes power. And like, so what we have going on here is like, it's exactly the opposite of like what's happening in Russia and Ukraine, right? Where like Trump resents having to kind of like go into that war on behalf of the smaller, weaker group there. Trump is loving being on the side of Israel right now, because Israel's winning in Iran. Israel has air dominance. Israel's like, you know, hitting Tehran and like, you know, doing all the stuff that Israel wants to do. And Trump is like, yeah, you know, USA, USA, they're using our planes, they're using our bombs, this is great, we're having a great time. I mean, I think like that's just like kind of at the core of how he views all this stuff. And it is kind of useful, I guess, to get it laid out there, right? That even though it is obviously horrifying and unsettling and just sort of deeply unreal. Like, I mean, it's just so weird to get these sort of a dear diary. Israel hit Iran again today, and it was a great time for everybody.
That is weird,
you know?
For sure. But I disagree with you. I don't think it illuminates how he thinks about these things. I think it sows confusion about how he thinks about these things. So, for instance, what does he mean by we now have complete and total control of the skies over Iran? Who's we?
So the good guys, in his view, right? Like,
who's we? Are we involved? Is the U.S. involved?
The U.S. is involved. I mean, that's what's so bizarre about this, right? He cannot stick to a normal.
In what capacity are we involved? Are we patrolling Iran's airspace, or is Israel with our provided equipment? I mean,
that's the talk about the stuff, right? I think you can say like we have complete control of the skies over Iran.
Sure.
And the we there is Israel using American equipment, right?
But we don't
American made, conceived, and manufactured stuff.
He's just firing away these missiles. We know. The other one that really got me was people of Tehran should evacuate immediately, which he said last night. That's a city of 10 million people. Just with a bleak. He's like absolute chaos in the capital. I mean, why would you do that? Now, look, it's interesting to the degree that what it does illuminate is just sort of his incessant need for attention and to be the center of attention, right? Like that I get, and I mean, I don't get it, but it's just who he is. But we're also sort of unfamiliar with this type of approach. It's just totally different than anything we've ever dealt with before. You know, it used to be that Joe Biden was ridiculed because he didn't say much in these moments. I think Trump is over-torquing in the opposite direction. He's saying way too much. And it's just like, go, you know, put the phone down and like, you know, come up with some strategic plan here or more concrete decisions. So I think he's oversharing.
Did you see that clip of him talking to reporters, I think on Air Force One, you know, shortly after he sent out that, you know, everyone in Tehran should evacuate immediately tweet? And
what
they were like,
say?
Well, what do you mean by that? Like, are you saying that like we're going to hit Tehran? He's like, no, I wasn't saying that. I was just kind of saying, you know, you want to be safe, you know, like as out of an abundance of caution, if you're in Tehran, you should evacuate immediately. I mean, just like completely insane.
It's a bigger population than New York, I believe. Just being like, hey, get out of New York City tonight. It's like, what are you supposed to do? It's chaos, total chaos. Never seen anything
like
it.
We've seen stuff like this a lot, you know, in other domains under Trump 2.0, right? This is the whole point of the whole taco thing, the Trump always chickens out thing. It's like Trump's going to say some insane shit, and you are probably in your best interest to ignore half of it because half of it's not going to come to fruition. And that is hard enough when it's just like the stock market that he's talking about and tariffs and all of that stuff. And like even then it's like, okay, I guess we're going to try to just like keep a stiff upper lip and assume it's all – he's going to be saying something new tomorrow. It is much more difficult, I'm sure, if you are sitting in Tehran to see this sort of thing and be like, what are you supposed to say? I bet he's just bluffing. I bet like he tweets and the chaos follows and it's
the other impact of it is that they are so attuned or they seem so attuned and interested and invested in shaping domestic public opinion about this stuff, which I'm assuming is why Trump's doing all this to begin with. But secondarily, you saw last night Pete Hegseth going on Waters World, of all things, like as this was all playing out. And then this morning you had the J.D. Vance post on Twitter. How would you even describe it? It's just sort of like a defense of Donald Trump as a human being and then laying the predicate for potentially some military action, but also saying, you know, it would be within the, you know, construct of an American first foreign policy. It was just a very sort of interesting I thought the fact that he felt the need to issue the post was itself interesting. They care so deeply about the public opinion, especially of their people online.
Yeah, yeah. And that last bit is I think, the most insane part of all – not the most insane, but such an insane sort of secondary part of all of this is that if you are not – if you out there in TV land watching this are not actively kind of following along with the posting habits of particularly J.D. Vance, but also Donald Trump and a lot of these other people in the administration, it is like impossible to overstate how much they are constantly triangulating their message to the people in their base who are mad about this or that or the other thing on Twitter. So like J.D. Vance – is out there slapping down individual like pieces of criticism on Twitter. Like he had a post for quote tweeting Dave Riaboy this morning, who was like doing some critique of like something secondarily related to this Iran stuff and like accusing him of like supporting Ron DeSantis in the 2024 primary.
Yeah,
like,
that was so weird.
That's what these guys are thinking about right now is like, how do I get this domestic critic off of my back by reminding all the other Trump supporters that this guy who's criticizing me right now was a Ron DeSantis guy last year as we inch toward like potential like global war. I mean, it's just, it's so insane how far up their own asses they are on this stuff with the online discourse.
Yeah. I think that's the issue I have with it is that there's so much going on and the stakes are not like minor, they're existential and like people will die. And you're like, you know, I got to post this. I got to go on Waters World. You know, it's like at some point, you know, you should probably just focus on your job. I say that as I post a million times a day. So
posters are going to post, man.
Posters are going to post. Yeah. Speaking of people should read the Mike Lee piece that Joe Perticorn just put up for Press Pass. It's really good. Some amazing stats in there. All right, Andrew, thanks, man. I appreciate this. We'll be following the True Social account. So anyone who's watching this doesn't have to. It's our public service to the population. And we'll be in touch on all these other things. And we'll talk to you later.